And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to, can we call this a mediocre edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast?
Mediocre would be good. Would be an improvement from that second half.
True. But I would say the theme of the night, the theme of this early season, the theme of my postgame story. Maybe I just got done writing my postgame story, so maybe that's why that word is in my brain. Steve Kerr actually used it about his team, I think, like 3 or 4 games ago. But the Warriors are mediocre, and the conference they're in is kind of mediocre. And this season, they're 10-9. They haven't won 3 in a row or lost 3 in a row at any point. They're kind of saying this is a roller coaster season, and I was feeling that for a while, but it's almost become kind of a consistent season in a sense, right? They're just kind of
consistently up and down, right? Yeah.
They're just going to kind of follow. I think if you look in like the, you know, granular night to night, they're inconsistent from one night to the next, but I kind of think they're going to float around 500 all year. I mean, do you expect any surge one way or the other from this team?
Not now. You know, perhaps towards the end of the year. Yeah, I mean, they just have no time playing together. So, you know, I expect, if it's possible, I think it'll happen later. I actually think some of these other teams might get it together, and then that's where they might be in trouble. Because, you know, you're looking at teams like Dallas, right? Like Denver. Even Portland had the injury issues. You know, they've been struggling. Like, now's the time to capitalize, right? Now's the time to put some pressure on those teams. But if they just keep going up and down, you know, you're kind of hoping, if you're the Warriors, that those teams don't get it together. But, you know, some of them will. So now would be optimal, but come
on. And the Warriors haven't had a coronavirus issue either. You know, a team like Dallas, who you mentioned, they're 8-10, but a lot of that is because, you know, half their rotation was out for, you know, a week.
Absolutely.
Or two.
I mean, this was the time to capitalize. Even tonight, like, they're playing with a full deck and
against a non-Devin Booker Phoenix team.
I think that might work against them, though. I think other teams will get it together, and they might get it together, but, you know, if all things are equal, they just might not have the they might not be as good as some of these other teams, I think. So we'll see. It just depends if they get it together. I don't even think that's a guarantee.
Yeah. The conference is becoming clear in the sense of, like, the two LA teams up top, and, like, Utah's really kind of knocking on their doorstep. And Utah, actually, at this point, like, as we speak, are the number one seed in the West, because the Lakers lost to the Pistons today, by the way. But, you know, we still probably believe in the Lakers and Clippers more. Denver's stabilized.
You mean the Pistons the Warriors are about to play? The one, like, win, quote unquote, you could see over this 4-game stretch?
Exactly. No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I think the Celtics are a little overvalued early this season, and then we can get to the Mavericks, but I'm agree with you that I think they'll figure it out, but they haven't yet. Doncic hasn't been MVP Doncic. Porzingis, I mean, eh. Anyway, so to me, the top four seeds in the West, and I mean in a longer term view of the entire season, seem pretty clear. Like, the Warriors, and I wrote this in my post game story, they don't have Klay Thompson. They don't have a max player. A lot of the issues they have would be solved by a Klay Thompson. You know, floor spacing, consistent defensive effort, you know, the margins that Steph Curry mentioned several times tonight. Klay Thompson is just a winning player. And when you replace a $35 million per year winning player who's going to play 0 minutes for you with a
$80 million.
No, well, $14 million, right? I mean, it's funny this whole like Kelly. No, you're right though. People blame Kelly Oubre for this $80 million tax bill because of the sequencing of the, I guess signings and how the roster was put together. But you know, Klay Thompson's played 0 minutes the last two seasons for the Warriors. How much tax money has he? Do you want to really look at a tax bill? You want to really look at a bill if we just isolate his chunk of the salary cap? Playing 0 minutes anyway.
So you saying Oubre more valuable than Klay? Is that what you're saying over the last 2 years?
Over the last 2 years, I mean Jordan Poole has scored more points.
Like you said, Kelly's given more this year than Klay has in 2 years. Is that what you're trying to say?
I mean, Jordan, factually, facts. No, I'm just like this is. This team can't get into the tier of Denver, Utah, or the two LA teams without Klay Thompson because he, you know, there's maybe Kelly Oubre could be replaced in the starting lineup by Damian Lee, but Damian Lee brings his own flaws and own weaknesses. And I mean, this team is just, it has a Klay Thompson hole that can't be filled. And without that, to me, they are in that 5 through 15 bracket. That's really not 5 through 15, right? It's more, kind of 5 through 10 of believable playoff teams. And I think they could find their way to the top of that. And we could talk about ways they need to get better. But I do think that reality needs to set in with anyone that doesn't believe that to be so. Really.
I mean, I actually think based on, you know, where the season started and what people were saying coming in, like, I mean, I'm just going like nationally or outside the Bay. I think they've proven that they're a playoff team. I think they've proven they're in that 5 to 10 range, which, you know, is, I mean, this, it's not bad. If anybody was expecting them to go out and be a 3 seed or 2 seed, they were crazy. Like, this is who they have a chance to run off a few games, like Steph said, and jump up the rankings. Like, if they somehow stay close in what was a 1-point game and pull it out, and then, you know, they go and beat Detroit, they're looking at 12-8. What does 12-8 get you? I mean, you in the hunt for home court in the first round. You know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're in position to do something. It's there. It's right there. They just have to kind of capitalize on it. They got to get it together while everybody else is scuffling. So I actually don't think I don't know who was thinking they'd be a 2 seed or a 3 seed. Like, I mean, all I heard before was 11 not making the playoffs. They're done. They're going to be another lottery pick. I think they've proven that when things work out, when they click, they can be a 6-7 seed. Five, yeah, at best, right?
They've
also proven they can go bad, right?
Yeah. Well, what I think is the most encouraging part early this season is, to me, that part of the conference has proven that they have the same inconsistency.
Absolutely,
issues.
Yeah.
And part of that is how this season is. But, you know, you rattle down the list. Portland, Nurkic, and McCollum are out for a while. They lost to Houston tonight. They lost to the
And they
Thunder
weren't killing recently. It when they were healthy, by
no,
the way.
No, I agree. You know, Phoenix, they haven't come together that well. I mean, you saw them win tonight without Booker, but they're 9-8. The Spurs right now, I believe, are sitting in the 5. We saw the Spurs in Chase Center. Did they look good? Yeah, did they look like, there, you know? Dallas is the team that's kind of looming down there that I do think has a chance to separate itself eventually just because of Doncic, Porzingis, but maybe not. I mean, who knows? There's not much else there. I mean, the Rockets traded Harden. They kind of took themselves out of the conversation.
Oh, no. 4 straight. John Wall, Victor Oladipo.
Memphis is currently in the 6th.
You ain't buying it at all, huh? You're not wrong.
No, I'm not buying it.
That's funny.
The Pelicans were supposed to maybe make some noise. They've probably been the most disappointing team in the conference. So, yeah. Anyway, let's talk about what can get the Warriors to the top of that 5 through 10 range. And to me, like, moving forward, we can start with Oubre. I mean, because he's probably the hottest topic of the night. He went 1 of 11 shooting, 0 of 5 from 3. It's just a night after he was like 7 of 7 at one point and was maybe like one of the main reasons they beat the Timberwolves. He's had a really good night against the Lakers when they won, but he's so hot and cold. And tonight he's cold, and tonight, like, he's kind of the ire for a lot of people. And I kind of felt like Curry's comment postgame was a little bit directed towards him without, you know, wanting to personalize it.
Which one about we're not consistent?
Yeah, we're not a consistent he talked team. About the 3 or 4 minute stretches where we don't play with the right intentions. I mean, one thing I've noticed with Oubre is like on those nights that he's not on, he almost gets more aggressive. The more, you know, the more he dives into a slump, the more he's like, I need to get myself out of this slump. And then it just snowballs.
One of the things they need to do that just watching this game tonight, even the last game, man, they really have to stay in their lanes. They got a lot of dudes who get out of their lane and start doing too much. I mean, tonight at a pivotal moment in the game, it's kind of getting away. Damian Lee forces a drive. Kent Bazemore is trying like fadeaways over whoever it was, the center in the middle. You know, Michael Mulder is trying to drive. Like, what are y'all doing? You know, James Wiseman will take the ill time long range too. It's just like they have no sense of like now, like time and situation. And they just start doing stuff that's just not really in, you know, what they should be doing. So, I mean, a large part of it is just simplify it. Like, stop making it so complicated. Like, this is not what you do. You shouldn't be doing that. I mean, I think another part, you know, I'm sure we'll get to it, is like Draymond's got to, he's got to produce more offense. He's got to rebound more. But I think they should be more like Draymond. Like Draymond is like, I'm going to focus on what I can do, right? Margin, and what I'm good at, I'm going to do. And you want him to do more. You think he can do more. But these other guys are doing things that they cannot do. And it's like, just stop doing that. You know, Eric Paschal comes down and it's very clear to everybody watching that Frank Kaminsky cannot guard him. And he doesn't get the ball anymore. He scores 3 straight and they stop giving him the ball because they're doing too much.
Some of that's Oubre, right? He's like, well, I'm in the second unit. This is my time to like get myself going.
Absolutely.
And it's like there's not a thought of like, hey, matchup based right now, like Eric Paschal going downhill at Frank Kaminsky should be like the epicenter of this offense. For
absolutely.
Six
he missed a three, came back down on like a little slow transition, was wide open top wing a little bit to the right, and took another one, like 20 seconds on the shot clock. It's like, dude, what are you doing? That's just play. Just do the things that you can do well. They need like a master class on this because there's, at the wrong time, a lot of time, there's a lot of people doing things they shouldn't be doing. And they've got to figure that part out. You know who's like kind of figured it out is Wanamaker. Like, he comes in, he does the things he's supposed to do, and that's it. You know, he's taking less, like, shots where you're like, dude, why are you taking that shot? He's taking shots that are fine, that are in rhythm. It's like, some guys are figuring it out, and other guys are not. They're like, I don't know what they're doing half the time. Like, it's just,
Mulder,
it was just weird. Mulder, yeah, is struggling. Like, Mulder, I mean, he's got to make shots when he comes into the game. Like, he shouldn't really be doing anything else.
Yeah. It's like one of kind of the undertold stories of this team is, like, it's a lot of players who haven't become accustomed to being winning bit players, right? I mean, the reason why Mulder appealed to the Warriors is because he was leading the G League in threes, and he was chucking up, like, 10 threes a game in CO Falls, or however you say it. But there, you know what a different life it is for an NBA player who can get in rhythm because he's chucking up with complete green light. He's the leading scorer for a G League team, and he's throwing up 11 threes compared to, hey, once every 2 games, you're going to get 6 minutes, go stand over there, and like you're going to – they need you to still have that quick trigger, that confident trigger, but you're just going to get, you know, a fraction of the minutes, a fraction of the opportunities, but you still need to hit it at that same clip. Like, that's hard for a guy who's never done it. And just like Kelly Oubre being a winning component of a winning defense, yes, he has the spectacular moments, but there's a reason why Klay Thompson doesn't get as many steals and blocks as Kelly Oubre, but he knows how to be a winning defender. Kelly Oubre has not learned that. Like that's what you're seeing with this team.
Yeah, and how do you get that? You know, Steph was talking about learning on the fly. Like, I don't know if that's possible. I think you kind of got to get through the season. and then you come back again.
Yeah.
And then, all right, you're a little bit better.
That's what this season is. And, you know, exactly, a lot of fans probably don't want to hear that. But, I mean, and that's why Wiseman's development, even though it's, like, thorny at times, like, it's needed because, like, if Wiseman is not part of a trade package that gets you a Bradley Beal, like, he needs to be a winning component of a team next year at the center spot. And learning those lessons now against the Suns are better than learning it next season. I guess not that he won't also be going through growing pains at 20 next year, but yeah, no, I mean,
it's still something under his belt. Yeah.
Yeah.
He still have something. So, I mean, the other thing though, Slater, is, man, they need their two All-Stars to be All-Stars. Like,
so
I hate to say it, but they just
are we talking
more.
Draymond first?
Yeah, either one. But yeah,
I got a random Twitter notification tonight. I'm sure you get these sometimes. Where it was like Michael Rapaport tweeted at you, but it was like an empty blank notification. I was like, what is this? And it was him tweeting at me a quote tweet of himself going after Draymond. He said, and I just brought it up. It says, Mr. Basketball IQ at Money Green is averaging 4 points, 4 rebounds, and 6 assists. We all know he, quote, affects the game in ways that we don't see on the stat sheet, but maybe also start affecting the games in ways that we do see on the stat sheet. 4, 4, and 6 is super subpar. And he tweeted that at Draymond with a gif of Draymond. Yeah, like 4, 4, I mean, like, 4, 4, and 6 is Draymond Green. We always reference the 73-win season, the 38% from three, and it's become almost like we got to stop that. Like, he's never going to be that again, right? Like, but you also go back, he averaged 9.5 rebounds that season. He averaged, like, I think near 2 blocks, 2 steals, right? He was just filling that category. Draymond Green has 2 blocks this entire season total.
Yeah, his blocks and his rebounds just aren't there. Like, it's
and
not.
His rebounds at like 4 per game. And guess what? That's not because Wiseman's swooping in and taking a bunch of rebounds, or they got a, you know, their rebound hogs all over the team. They are the worst rebounding team in the league right now.
Yeah, he's a good rebounder too. So this is definitely a trait that they need from him. You don't even have to go back to 2015-16. I think they take 2017-18. I think they take 2018-19, right? Like,
they take anything that wasn't last season.
Yeah, I mean, I just that he just has to do more. Like, that's just, and you know, I he's doing the point guard thing, and I got that, but like, and I actually give it to him. He took, how many shots he take? 7 shots, 8 shots. I think the key for Draymond is not missing a couple of shots and then deciding not to shoot. CJ Watson, former Warrior, tweeted out how Draymond wasn't even looking at the rim. Like, I don't think he can do that. I think he needs to be aggressive and take shots. So the last few games, you can tell that he's not saying to himself, nah, I'm off tonight, let me not shoot. Like, he's got to do it. Now, he missed shots tonight, but you got to get him up to take him to make it. So I definitely, something's up with his rebounding, and he's not blocking shots, but definitely the rebounding. It seems like his rebounding is not there.
That's more of a concern, right?
Yeah, that's a concern.
Like, the offensive stuff, like, he's always dealt with it, right? I mean, that's like his NBA flaw, even back when he was scoring 14 a game for that team. Like, it's just, that was always going to be his Achilles heel. But, you know,
I mean, I think Draymond can score 10 points a game. I think he can. Like, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's above his ability.
I think if you ask the coaching staff, would you rather Draymond gets back and starts scoring 10 points a game, or would you rather Draymond becomes the 8-9 rebound per game?
No question. Take the rebound and 2 blocks. No question.
That's where they need him more.
No question.
So, yeah.
There's no question about that. I just think, like, he needs to do more. I mean, they have to lean on the things that they know and let these other guys fill in instead of, like, like, everybody get involved type stuff. It's like, nah, man, there are some points in the game where it's very clear who should be taking the shot. And unless that shot is created for you, it's not you. And that's not even like, you know, a diss or a slight. It's like game situation. You got to be able to feel it. You got to be able to see it. And when it's tight, it's like, the offense needs to be designed to get the ball to certain people, right? Like, that's just the way it goes. So, but I do think that's partly Draymond. It's got to be Draymond. It's got to be Steph. It's got to be Wiggins. Like, Wiggins took 11 shots tonight. That's just not enough. Right? I mean, you'd rather see the imbalance, right? Like, you'd rather see three dudes taking 20 shots and the rest, you know, get in where they fit in. Like, I mean, he took the same number of shots as Oubre, but he was 6 for 11, and Oubre was 1 for 11. You know, like, some of that stuff is just got to be like, all right, man, everybody needs to figure out what the three or four things they should be doing and master that before you start doing other stuff.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
As we talk about how they can rise to, you know, the 5-6 and you know, get a firm grip of that area of the conference, it's, you know, Oubre more consistently really kind of cut out the just complete dud nights. Or, you know, Oubre's flipped, but that's a different conversation online. Draymond, the conversation we just had. With Curry, like, the way he can just drag them above this fray would be just, he goes nuclear for a month straight. Do you think he has that in him?
I'm starting to wonder. I mean, I think he does. I just don't. I think he's already bought into the, we're the 2011-12 Warriors, and we gotta grind, right? Like, I think he's already in the mindset of, I'm holding on till Clay gets here, but there's no way I could do this by myself with the way they're guarding me. So these dudes have to play well. But I, like, tonight was a night, like, He had 13 in the first quarter. I think he didn't score in the second, but he came out in the third and he was grooving. And it was like, yes, like, at some point he needs a 20-point quarter right here, right? That's what it's gonna take, some of those moments. And when he's got a good feel for it, it feels like they all should be like, all right, let's get Steph 15 shots this quarter. Let's get a 20-point quarter out of him. It's going to take one of those type of runs, without a doubt. But he's got to have guys with him. He's got to have people who can sense that. He's got to have a coach that wants that from him, right? He's got to have an offense that's geared towards that. He's got to have players who understand what's happening and can kind of do it.
Well, let me ask you. You can read Steph better than anybody in the media. Where do you think he's at on this situation? I mean, it is what it is. Like I said, I mean, like, the ceiling is noise in the first and second round probably this season. They're clearly prioritizing developing James Wiseman for very understandable reasons. But not many players in Steph Curry's situation do watch a number two overall pick get developed, even sometimes, you know, through the growing pains, through the plus minus, you know, chunk minus sections of a season. I mean, the Oubre situation is what it is. I think knowing that they're paying Klay Thompson to be on this roster and he's not playing a minute probably gives him, like, I would say gives the franchise somewhat of a pass there. But, like, where do you think he's at on all this? Because he is as clear-eyed as it comes as a superstar. I mean, he was talking tonight about looking at the standings, but also he kind of knows that they're not really a title threat.
Yeah, I think Steph is bought. He's into the bought-in mode, like, be a good teammate, good leader mode. We don't even really see the, you know, angry Curry type vibes anymore, right? Like, where it's like, this is getting away, forget this, I'm just going to take him, I'm just going to go. We don't really see that. There were moments where he felt the game getting away, where he would just be like, forget it. But I think he's into the development mode. That's just the feel I get, that He's like, all right, so I probably never thought my career would be back here, but since we're here, let's do it. Let's kind of make the most of it. Let's build something. I'm sure it helps to have, you know, to know Clay is coming back. And at some point, like, you figure if Wiseman plays well, he's got to be thinking we'll be back, right? So if we do this right, we'll be back. I do think they're encouraged by Wiggins, right? I do think you see Wiggins and say, all right, we're going to have a piece. There's going to be a piece. We got the Wiseman piece. And I think Steph is like all in. I think he's the, you know, I've even trying to, like, you know, ask him some questions to see, like, hey, are you demanding changes? Are you going to? And he's just like, nah, this is what we need to do. I understand what this is. So let's go with it. So I think he's gone full Davidson at Slater. I think he's ready to, he's with his team. Like, he's riding with his guys. Have you seen any ounce of, like,
no,
anything different? Like, it's weird too, because, like, Harden was like, yo, I'm out.
He's been all in on Wiseman, which I think is an important point here, right? You know, I think he liked the Wiseman pick, which I think doesn't get discussed enough. You know, he wanted that, you know, pick and roll center, lob threat, real rim protector. Now, it's on him somewhat involved with the coaching staff, the franchise, to develop Wiseman into the kind of player who, if he's optimized, he will be very good for Steph Curry. Even a 21-year-old version, if you really get the improvements, would be, you know, if it gets to the point where they can run 15 to 20 pick and rolls per game with him, and, you know, he it's not like they drafted LaMelo Ball. You know, it's interesting. Like, there's definitely an argument out there of, like, they could have taken LaMelo Ball. I'm curious how Steph would be handling a season like that. Even if LaMelo was giving them a little more, I don't know that he would or not.
Might be a little different, huh? Right?
Yeah, you know, it's like the backup, you know. But with Wiseman, I mean, it's such a non-threatening separation of position and complementary, like, theoretically complementary skill sets. But yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, he's a voice of reason in every press conference, even after losses. He's, you know, he says some stuff that has to do with, like, needing marginal improvement here and there, but he has not brought in any type of, like, wider scope concerns about the franchise. Even when he was talking about his extension early in the season, I mean, he really tried to say, look, the idea is to be there long term. So
yeah, I do think he's seen, like, I do think he sees, like, okay, like, this is the way that I can be competitive for four more years after this, right? I can go deep. We got our young buck, you know what I'm saying? We got you know, some players to go with us. I think he can see, like, the roadmap. I also think that's why he's not, you know, I don't see him pressing too hard. I know we're not there, but I don't see him pressing too hard to increase these minutes. I think he knows he needs to preserve his body. Like, they're building for something that I think he sees, and Draymond too. They see that it can be good down the line. So now it's just about doing the right things to build the foundation. I kind of think he's there. I know everybody wants him to be in that different place where it's like, forget it. But I haven't even seen a sign of it, right? Like, maybe in a month, Slater. Maybe in a month. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, 10-9 is fine. You know, it's been such, like I said, the details of how it got to 10-9 matter. But if you said through 19 games, this team would be 10-9,
particularly after those first two. Yeah.
Ooh, man. I was thinking, like, what were you thinking right now? They would be, or let's say through 20 games when they were 0-2, the way they lost those two, I would have probably
7-13, like 6-14.
7-13 felt like likely, whereas, like, there was a chance 5-15 was on the table.
No question. No question about that. Like, and you know, see how Steph is, right? He's gonna always see the bright side and take the positive approach. But so, you know, he's seeing this, like, man, we're okay. We're all right. We're gonna be all right. And part of it is probably on him too, right? To get some of these guys to buy in, right? If he's got a role on this team, is some of it is like, hey, you know, to hold people accountable. He won't ever do it, like, in a crazy way, but those little bitty sound bites, like you, like he said tonight. Those little bitty lines where, you know, they're darts aimed somewhere, you know, where you could tell where he's thinking and what he's going to say behind the scenes. Like, that type of stuff is, you know, I think he's taking it on him. Like, I got to get this team ready. You know, I got to get this team to a certain level so I can have some people with me, is what I think he's thinking.
All right, last segment, last portion of this, you know, wider conversation. I want to do a little Wiseman check-in with you. So he gets benched and then has two good games against bad competition, the Wolves. The second one was probably his best game as a pro, that 25 points. He hits three threes. He rim protects with verticality well. He had the running, you know, block, and then he's running in transition, and he looks back properly for the Draymond lob over the top. He flashed it all in that game. And then I would say struggled tonight with Kaminsky a little bit as like a
– With Kaminsky?
Yeah. Yeah. And they're, it really, like, Kaminsky was tougher on him than Ayton was.
Yes.
Which is was kind of wild.
It's the crafty that gets him. It's the crafty. If it's yeah. like – if it's just about, like, strength and – physical, I think he can figure it out. Like, I think he can figure it out. You know, he's starting. You could tell he's been told to be more physical and that he doesn't like contact. So you can see him like actively trying to be more physical. But against a dude like Kaminsky, like he's gonna outcraft you. He's gonna throw a pump fake. He's gonna, you know, get you leaning one way, go the other. It's all he's got, right? This is how he lives. I think anything that makes him have to react and make decisions is going to be a problem. Like, if
yeah, I think what we're starting to see a little bit more and continue to see is I think he's going to be very good in his rookie season against bad teams, or not even necessarily always bad teams. Obviously, the Wolves are very bad, but teams that just aren't
he just connected needs a good matchup.
Night.
Yeah, he needs a good like matchup.
This, like, the Spurs aren't, you know, at this point, look, the Spurs, like I said, are the fifth seed in the West, but they just That was probably like the Spurs' worst game of their season, right? Aldridge looked completely out of it that night. Wasn't even attempting to stop the lob game. And he got seven dunks, and he looked awesome. And Minnesota just didn't have the centers to match up with them, and he looked great against them. And at home, I think home games matter to him too. He just seems to have more of a rhythm a lot of times in the home games. And good teams, smart teams, veteran teams, crafty centers, like you mentioned, he's going to have his up-and-down moments. And I guess part of, as we talk about how they can get better over the season, is him getting better in those matchups more consistently. But I, again, like, I don't know how long you think they should keep him on the bench, by the way.
You mean in the...
Not like, in the starting lineup.
Oh, I don't think it matters. I really don't think it matters.
It doesn't. I mean, minute-wise, it hasn't. They're yeah, giving him
if
six
he gets the same quarter, minutes, yeah. If he's getting minutes, he's getting minutes. I wouldn't cut his minutes. I would probably crank up his minutes, but I don't think it matters, actually. If it helps him read the game, then, hey, keep him on the bench. Like, I think he's just fine. I think he'll learn to deal with whatever it is, whether starting or off the bench. Like, he's a pretty he's clearly a pretty, you know, mentally strong young man, so he'll get through it. I just don't think they need to cut his minutes. I think they need to add minutes, because a lot of his situation is you could just tell he doesn't know what's happening next. He's a step behind. Guys are driving, and he, like, I don't know. There's like, it's weird because big dudes, like, you on 90% of centers, if you're a little guy, you're driving in, you're going to get your shot blocked. Like, they just know how you're going to release it. Like, and then you got the crafty dudes like Kyrie, you know, who can go around that. But just a regular dude going in for a layup, that's getting swiped, right? We were watching Chris Boucher do that to the Warriors, right? Like, Steph gets his shot blocked all the time trying to go in and sneak in a layup. He's not to the point where he's swatting those yet. Like, he doesn't even know it's coming. If you can get it up fast enough, if you could sneak him for a layup and he's jumping a little late, his timing is off. So those type things, he doesn't, like, he needs to see it happen and he needs to think about what he was told and then he needs to do it. And it's not happening instinctively. Somebody spun like right into him and he didn't, I don't think he knew like instinctively like what was coming. Like, okay, he's about to scoop this. But if he sees it, he's gonna pin it, right? But he doesn't always see it. So I just think he needs minutes just because he's got to get a feel for some of these players, for some of the moments, for some of the situations. You know, like he's like he tonight he got, you know, he got to the block, he's backing somebody down and he spun. I think he got a foul call, but it's like he ended up like way kind of on the side of the backboard. And it was like he spun, he had nowhere, he had no idea where he was on the court.
Yeah.
But it was just like, man, you can't be down there doing Elijah Wan and not knowing where you're going. You know what I'm saying? Like, but the dimensions of the court, he's still trying to figure out. He could be pushed off his spot, all that type of stuff. He just needs minutes, man. He needs a lot of minutes. That's why I don't mind him coming off the bench, you know, like, because it's like, hey, man, you want to play? You go in there and get rebounds. I'm perfectly fine with him telling him that. You go in there and you don't get rebounds.
He's mixing it up more in the more lately, trying to be more physical.
You can see him thinking about it, right? All right, now yeah. I got to put my shoulder in and ram. Like, that's what you can see him, like, processing it all.
But, I mean, Draymond's lack of rebounding and Wiseman's entry into the league is just kind of a non-physical center. It's, to me, been at the heart of their rebounding issues. That's their four-man and their, you know, their starting five-man, at least he was starting. And to me, you know, if we talk about trying to exceed expectations, if this team could somehow exceed expectations and make more noise than anyone predicted in the playoffs, to me, their only path to that at this point really is just him making a monster leap in the next 2-3 months, right?
Because, so like, you're giving up nobody... on Kelly already, huh?
Well, come I mean, on, he could be better, but like, could
he
you
could
see...
be 18? Can he give you 18 for a month?
Honestly, what's he averaging now? He's probably averaging near 18. The problem is the way he goes about getting there. Let me look.
He's at 12.
Yeah, okay. Yes, you're right. He can give you more. And, like, yes, he's marginally better. Draymond's marginally better. Curry, you could even say, is, you know, more consistently, marginally more explosive. But the big leap is only resides in Wiseman, possibly,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the big leap, yeah. The big leap is definitely Wiseman. No,
Son Looney, yeah. You know, Loon, fringe all star Kevon Looney.
Loon balling, man.
He is. He's playing well. He's playing like he was two seasons ago.
I think he was. Really, I think he's been balling since last time I was on All 82, and we were talking about how bad Looney was.
I didn't like him as a fit next to Pascal.
Yeah, they switched it clearly and put him, you know.
Yeah, they don't touch the floor next to each other anymore. They do. It's this three center rotation that they're doing, and Pascal's not a center, which it's where Pascal was good tonight. But
just knew his Fit Aid commercial was dropping, so he was like, "Man, I got a commercial spot. Let's go. I'm about to ball." That's what he was doing.
I like it. All right. I think that was a good, you know, deeper discussion on the state of the 10-9 Golden State Warriors. Pistons on Saturday, you mentioned they're coming off a win over the Lakers, which I'm stunned by. Still very winnable game. And then Celtics on Tuesday at home. And then Dallas, San Antonio.
You ain't feeling the Celtics, huh? You ain't with the Celtics, huh?
No. I think they're thinner than in past years. I've been a little bit out on them. I do like what Jaylen Brown is becoming.
Jaylen Brown is killing, yo.
His numbers
are nuts.
Tatum's been a little bit overhyped while Brown is a little underhyped. I think I still like Tatum longer term as the better prospect, but it doesn't feel like reputationally they're as close as they actually are. Not that that matters. I'm not trying to pit two teams.
Man, the 10-7 Celtics. He's written off the 10-7 Celtics.
Well, wow. you said it right there, 10-7.
Fifth seed in the East.
East might be better in the West right now, in the meat of the conference. I mean, obviously, I think that the favorite is clearly in the West, maybe the two best teams. But the East, this is as even as it's felt in a long time for me.
Yeah, East looking – I mean, I don't know. Knicks in 8-11 right now. I mean, that's typical. They're gonna get a losing record in the playoffs in the East.
But hey, whatever.
I do like two through seven.
The Spurs are a 5 seed right now. No way. I know. The Thunder are on the outside. They're nudging their way. They're tied with the Rockets right now to get in the play-in. The Thunder, who literally traded anything they could trade this summer. If you offered a first-round pick to anything in their entire franchise offices, they would have given it.
Thunder at a 10 seed. Let's go.
That'll be fun. All right. Marcus Thompson, appreciate you coming on, and I will talk to you sometime after a recent game.
Yes, sir.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.